Hey guys, thanks for checking out the Access Point podcast. Whether you stumbled upon us for the first time or you're a longtime listener, we thank you for coming and listening, and we hope you enjoy. Following that identity series with equipping the work of the ministry is basically saying, okay, if I identify in Christ, if I am a Christian, not just on a census bureau, but my life revolves around my identity in Him, then what does that look like for me? How do I do my part? How do I live up to this identity? Because that is a big part. We can put on the jersey and still not be a part of the team. We can still say, I identify, but until we actually equip ourselves to do the part of that ministry, to live up to that identity, then again, we're just putting on a facade where we're just filling in a role and not actually truly identifying until we allow that identity to change us, to understand that we are now equipped for something more, something beyond me. I am equipped to do something for the one that I identify in and with. So with this series so far, we made note that as believers, as Christians, as a follower of Christ, one who identifies in Christ, we understand first and foremost that God calls. And when God calls, He equips. And the truth is, He doesn't just say, well, I'm going to call those who are qualified. No, He's giving us a calling, giving us a direction, giving us a part in this role to play in the body of Christ, the image that Paul uses time and time again. And what Paul reminds us is that if He's calling us for something more in that body, then He's equipping us to accomplish the very things He's called us. He doesn't leave us stranded and say, this is what I demand of you. This is what I expect of you. Now, good luck in making it happen. No, as believers, He says, this is what I want from my believers, from my followers, those who are identifying in me. This is what I want to see. This is how you fulfill my will for your life and for the church by as a whole. And in order to accomplish that, we are promised spiritual gifts. We are promised gifts to use for His glory, for the building up, for the supporting of the body of Christ. We're not left stranded of a sense of, this is what you're supposed to do. Here's my demands. Now make it happen. But here's what I'm calling you to do, to build up the body of Christ. And not only am I calling, but I'm equipping to make that very will for your life possible, to make it a part of now who you are. And what I truly understand and what we see in Scripture is that if we understand that we are gifted by spiritual gifts from our God through His grace, then the reality is the presence of a spiritual gift means you belong to the body. And if you belong to the body, if we are given a spiritual gift, then you have a place of service in that body. We aren't given these gifts to say, hey, look at me, now I have a gift in this area. You know, this is good for me. No, it's good for the body as a whole. And when we're not doing our part, then the entire body suffers. It is missing out of its true fulfillment. And so true reality and understanding what we have to see is that if we identify with Christ, if we belong to the body, and if God is by His grace given us spiritual gifts, that means I belong to the body and I have a role, a purpose in that body. Because if I belong, if you belong, if we belong in the body of Christ, we will show it first by that seal, the Holy Spirit active and alive in our lives, that brings about that transformation, that change, that new creation, as Paul talks about. And then with that, through the Holy Spirit giving out these spiritual gifts, we have to realize that if we're given His Spirit and if we're given spiritual gifts by the discernment, the discretion of the Holy Spirit, then we have to say, well, now as one who identifies with Christ, one who has been given so much by the grace of God, even my faith being a gift by the grace of God, then I have to say, I need to now reflect that in the way that I live. I need to utilize the very things that God has gifted me by His grace, not by my merit, not that I've earned it. I didn't even earn my faith. That was a gift. And when we understand that all of it made possible by the grace of God, including our faith, and now the seal on our lives of His Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit then giving these spiritual gifts, how can we not say, okay, God, I have a sense of identity now in You. So now You're equipping me to fulfill that role. So now my reaction to that is to reflect You and to use the very gifts that You have given me to glorify Your name. Because if we really think about it, and if we're honest with ourselves, the truth is You and I are going to show ourselves to be of Christ, not by just simply putting on the jersey, not by simply checking the right boxes, but by the way we use the very gifts that His Spirit has given us. Because our spiritual gifts are intended to build up the body, leading to maturity in ourselves and to others, while ultimately glorifying God Almighty. And so when we use our gifts as He has called us to, then we are preparing ourselves to be a part of what He is doing. It answers the question of, God, what do You want from me? What am I still here for? You are here to build up those around You, to build up the body of Christ, and to ultimately glorify Me above all. And so for you and I, we have to understand that proof that we are in Christ is revealed when we use the very gifts that God has given us. You know, as Jesus tells us, we'll be able to judge a tree by the fruit that it bears. You know, the outside world says, oh, that's you Christians judging. It's not that we're not allowed to judge. We have to do so rightly, because everyone is going to judge us. And they're going to say, you're wearing the jersey. You're going by the title. You're identifying with this faith, with this individual you claim as your Lord. But I don't see any proof of that. Where are you showing your identity? Just saying it is easy. Anybody can say it. But we prove or show the world and show the church body as a whole that we truly identify in Christ when we use the very gifts that He has given us to build up the body as a whole and to bring glory to God. That is how we show those around us, our family, our friends, those we work with, that not only am I in Christ, but I'm a new creation, because now my heart, my focus, my gifts that He has given me are now directed in a way that builds up the body and that glorifies the One that I serve. I mean, think about it. You and I are given these gifts to bless others. And that is why the body of Christ is as diverse as it is. It is, in a sense, in a way, so that each individual's gift can help lift up and strengthen the gifts of one another. There's things that I can't do that you're gifted to do. You are able to pick up that end. I'm able to do my part, and every part bringing its whole builds up the body as an entire system, as an entire unit. And so you and I, as individuals in that body, prove ourselves to be a part and identify in that body in the way that we use the very gifts that God has given us. That is how we show the world, show the church, show ourselves that we are of Christ. Not by putting on, again, the title or claiming it, naming and claiming it, but rather by living it and using the very things, the gifts that He's given us for His glory and for the building of the body around us. That's why in his letter to the church in Corinth, Paul is stressing that as believers, the best thing we can do as believers, the best thing we can do as individuals is to do our part to strengthen the body as a whole. Again, because we prove our part in the body of believers when we utilize the very gifts that God has given us, so that the entire church can grow, can excel, and can be strengthened by each individual member, each individual part, living up to the exact gifts that God has given us. He doesn't give it to us just to say, well, here's a little something for you. Here's a little sprinkle on top. No, God doesn't have to give us anything, but he gives us by grace all the faith, the mercy, the love, and then his Holy Spirit, who then doles out these gifts, not for our benefit, but for the benefit of the whole. Because each and every one of us bring in our own portion shows diversity in the body of Christ. And that diversity through the one giver is showing us that this distribution, this spreading of these gifts is done so that the body as a whole can grow, can flourish. But it requires each and every one of us identifying with the body, understanding that the way that I prove my part in this body is by truly using the very gifts that God has given me. That is how I do my part. That is how I begin to answer the question of, God, what is your will for my life? What am I supposed to do? How is my life to glorify you? We do so by using the very gifts that God has given us. As we talked about 2 weeks ago, we can all be given a gift and never use it. What good is that gift? If we never open it, never learn to grow in those areas, not only do we miss out, but the church body misses out. And the body as a whole, the church as a whole, is not living up to its maximum fulfillment and maximum potential as a whole, because each and every one of us aren't pulling our portion. And it's easy to say, well, if I'm a part of the body, I'm the appendix. You know, you can live with or without me. It doesn't matter. You know, I've heard the joke. We've all said it. You know, I'm basically the extra kidney. You can either have me, but you'll still survive. The church is going to survive without me. But Paul is stressing that there is diversity in the body because each individual has a specific gift for a specific role, and each of these roles helps strengthen the entire body as one unit. And so Paul is reminding this church in Corinth, and he's reminding the 21st century church, that as individual churches and as the entire church body, we are all given a part to play, an essential part to play. But we want to demean our gifts or lessen our gifts or say, mine's not as important because I'm not preaching, I'm not teaching. But Paul is saying, look, each individual who is given a gift is given a gift for a reason. And you prove your identity in that body by utilizing the very things that God has given you. I mean, God Almighty is giving us these gifts. And we have the audacity to say, no, God, I'm good. I mean, really think about that. God, creator of the universe, who made our bodies as intricate as they are, created a diverse, unique, beautiful world, we have the audacity to say, I appreciate it, but I'm just going to throw it in the attic. I'm just going to set it to the side. If I did that to a gift that my wife gave me, and she knows I gave this out of love, knowing that you could use this and it'll help you, it'll help our family, it'll help us as one unit, but yet you refuse to open it, then how do you think she's going to feel about that? She's not going to be very happy, are you, baby? Not very happy at all. All right? But we have the audacity to tell God Almighty, oh, I thank you for your gift of grace, the gift of faith, and because of your Holy Spirit, the gift of a spiritual gift or gifts. But you know what, God? Let me just do my thing. Let me live my life. I'll still identify with you. Isn't that all you want anyway? How dare we tell God, thank you, but no thanks. We all have a part. We all say we want to identify. And if we truly identify with the body of Christ, then that means we utilize the very gifts that God has given us through his Spirit, through the Spirit's distribution, through the Spirit's wisdom, for the sake of the body as a whole. We all have a part to play. And that's what Paul is telling the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we're going to start in verse 4. It says, now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God activates each gift in each person. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. To one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. You begin to see the theme, all by the Spirit. To another, the performing of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, different kinds of languages. To another, interpretation of languages. But one and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as He wills. For as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed each one of the parts in one body just as He wanted. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? Now there are many parts, yet one body. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Or again, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. But even more, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are necessary. And those parts of the body that we think to be less honorable, we clothe these with greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have a better presentation. But our presentable parts have no need of clothing. Instead, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the less honorable, so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same concern for each other. So if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Again, diversity, all brought together in one unit, in one body, and by one Spirit. All of it coming together by God's design, as we see Paul stresses, as He willed, as He wanted, by one Spirit. It is all by the grace of God. It is all by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit giving these gifts that we didn't earn, we didn't deserve, but He's given us for the diversity of the body of Christ, to build up, to strengthen the body of Christ, and to glorify God above all. And in this diversity, Paul lists here 9 spiritual gifts and more in other places. And what Paul is again stressing is there's a beautiful diversity of these gifts. Yet there is only one giver who works through these gifts. The gifts, yes, diverse. The ministries are different. And the activities are varied. But it is all the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God doing the work through the gifts, through the ministries, and through the activities. And so Paul reminds us that it is God's wisdom and authority that are the basis for our spiritual gifts. It is His wisdom, His authority, His will for the church body as a whole, because He knows what's best in His sovereignty and His wisdom, and then ultimately in His outpouring of love for the church. He wants the body of Christ to flourish, to be strengthened. And the way to do that is through diversity, through the giving of these spirits and So Paul is saying, in order for God's will to be fulfilled in the church bodies, for each of us to understand the significance of our own gifts, not to look down on others' gifts, not to look down on our own or to lift our own above anyone else's, not to be jealous of somebody else's, but to say, this is where God in His sovereignty has placed me in the body. It doesn't make me greater. It doesn't make me less important. It makes me a part of this one body through the one Spirit by the one sovereign God. And we see there's really four key verbs in the text which illustrate the sovereignty of God. It says God apportioned, or He assigned. It says God arranged. It says God composed. God appointed. All of this, God's sovereign hand at work, making things in the right place, in the right spot, with the right person, for the right job, the right activity, the right ministry, the right goal, whatever it may be, it is God's plan. But yet, we have the audacity to say, why don't I have that gift? Why can't I be like this person? And what Paul is reminding us is, you're not that person, and that's good, because you can do things they're not gifted to do. And yes, they can do things that you're not gifted to do. But if you're both doing your part, bringing in that diversity and the beauty of diversity, we see that His plan, His will is coming together to strengthen the body as a whole. It is His sovereign plan, His sovereign will, His control by the one Spirit, the one Lord, the one God, making it all possible. Because one thing we see is from beginning to end, from the smallest detail to the broadest of scopes in church ministry and church life, God is in control. God is sovereign. That is an understanding of the significance of when we say God is sovereign. Means God knows, God is in control. And if God is giving us these gifts, it is for a purpose and a plan in accordance to His will by His one Spirit, so that the body can grow in a beautiful, diverse, but unified manner. And He does so through His sovereign hand to ensure variety, because He is infinitely rich in mercy and grace, always working out this creative new ways of demonstrating His love, His truth in the church body as a whole. And so by understanding that, and now knowing that our gifts are only by the grace of God, we have to then begin to realize that these gifts have to be and only be above all for the glory of God. I didn't earn it, so pride get kicked to the side. I did not do anything to prove myself worthy to teach, to preach. I can promise you that. I still wonder, God, why would you put a man like me with a gift and a heart to teach? But God, I'm thankful that you've given me that. It doesn't make this role more significant in the body. There may be more responsibilities in certain areas in different ways, but my role is just as important as your role. And there are things that, yes, even as a preacher, there's times that I'm jealous of, man, I wish I could do that, God. God, I can't do what they can. But then I realize that is a good thing, because when they do their part and I do my part, it is by His sovereign will and plan that us coming together as diverse members adds to the beautiful, unified body as a whole. It is His sovereign plan that spreads out a variety of gifts within the church body. Again, removing any valid reason for pride that we may want to shoot out, that we may want to claim. And yes, pastors can be guilty of that, of elevating their own gifts and forgetting that it is only by the grace of God we are given it. Yes, we should work and grow in the areas that He has gifted us. We don't just automatically become a world-class preacher. I can promise you, I've told you before, that first sermon I preached was disastrous. And I'm glad we didn't have Facebook Live back then. There's no digital proof. There may still be a tape at Macedonia, Bob. Don't go dig. And I don't know if it's still there or not. But there may be a, that was back when we were making little cassette tapes, you know, back at church. So there might be proof. But I didn't say, well, I obviously this isn't me. I knew there was a calling. And that gifting grew as I began to develop. I began to learn. I began to study. And still understand that I have to continue to grow in that. Because it is a part of His sovereign plan, giving a variety of gifts to a variety of people. And so understanding that, we have to say, since we have been gifted in such a beautiful way, we now have to understand that my act of worship to God, as a part of what we saw in Romans chapter 12, our life is a living sacrifice. The way that I live my life towards God is an act of worship to Him. So now, by utilizing the very things I've been given and exercising it in my daily life is a way of glorifying God and saying, I identify with the body of Christ. And God has given me this portion, this role to play. And so I want to exercise that day in, day out to grow in that so that God can use the very gift He has given me to build up the church body as a whole. And that's why, as we see, excuse me, guys, Paul uses the brilliant illustration of the human body to relate the working of the community of believers, of Christians. Is saying that even as every cell in the human body is linked by a common root, a common DNA code, if you will, we still see that the parts of the body, the members, look different, are treated different, work different, and accomplish different purposes. But the root DNA that makes AJ, AJ, is all the same. That base unit of who I am, the code that makes me who I am, is one common root. But that body that I have is made up of different members, different parts that all serve a different role. I don't want my eye to do the work of the hand. And I don't want my hand to do the work of my knee. Vice versa. There are things that my hand can't do that my kidneys can. And thanks be to God's design in our human bodies, that's how it's supposed to be. There is great diversity in the makeup of who we are individually as human beings. And the same is true. There's great diversity in the body of Christ, both in appearance and function. Yet each of us, each member, if you want to say, has a common root and a common goal. We each have a part to play in God's sovereign plan for His church, for this world, and for our own lives and the life of our family units. And so that's why Paul is reminding us that each gift that we are given by the Spirit is meant to be exercised for the benefit of the body at large. And so Paul is really emphasizing our responsibility to use our gifts so that the purpose of the Holy Spirit can be accomplished when the community as a whole is doing its part, when we are living up to the gifts that we have been given, when we truly play our part. One commentator, N.T. Wright, he uses the image of an orchestra when all the players really describing the overall call of the body to exercise the gifts properly. Because if you've ever seen an orchestra or a large band, you see that the orchestra follows the leader and everyone is playing their part. And the symphony comes through clearly and beautifully when each one is hitting their note and doing their part. You don't want the tuba player trying to follow up and do what the flute should be doing. That's not how it works. That's not at all what they're called to do. As much as the tuba wants to be a flute, it is not and therefore cannot do that role. That's not what it was created to do are to be. But when each part is doing its portion, it is a beautiful coming together of music and of gifts, and it makes everything fall in place. But when that one instrument is hitting offbeat every other note, it stands out. It is noticeable. Something's missing. Something is off. There is disunity. There is something that is not truly living up to the potential of how beautiful this orchestra, this song, could truly be. So what N.T. Wright was saying is we need to see our role as the same. Is just as much as a tuba isn't the flute, I'm not you and you're not me, and that is a good thing. And when we realize that and then say, well, since he or she can't do what I can because of the gift that God has given me, that means I am needed in this body. I need to exercise the very gifts, because when I miss my note, it is noticeable. The church as a whole is being held back and isn't truly coming through in that beautiful harmony as it could if I, instead of looking jealously at that individual and their gifts, I say, thank you, God, for the gift that I have. Now, help me exercise it daily. Help me grow in the knowledge of it and my confidence in it, so that the body as a whole can be lifted up and strengthened, and you, God, above all, can be glorified in the very gift that you have given us. Because again, using our gifts to bless others is part of the reason God has given them to us. We are given them to ensure that God will be glorified within our lives and to build up others through the use of our gifts. So instead of arguing with God, or instead of saying, God, I know what's best for my life, I don't need this to begin with, or I'm not as good as them, I can't do what they can do. Instead of taking all these excuses and all these arguments, we say, but God, you've made me a part of this body, and you have gifted me with something that I can add to this body. So God, by your grace, all of this is possible. So in return, this is my proof that I truly identify with you. Again, we prove our presence in the body of Christ when we utilize the very gifts that God has given us through his Holy Spirit. Because when we do, we help unite the body of Christ in a powerful and impactful manner. And that is why, as Paul stresses, different people are given different gifts to handle different tasks. And so understanding our gift in light of this principle will enable all of us, enable you and I, to make decisions as to where and how to serve God. It will help you set priorities for your life. And that's why it is important to know where we fit within the church body as a whole and where these gifts lie. And some of that is through trial. Some of that is through what other people may notice and say about you in particular areas that you're stronger, in particular areas that you have a heart to serve. These things will become known the more we serve. And by knowing this, we begin to find a sense of understanding of where we fit in within the body of Christ. Because knowing your spiritual gift will begin to build unity among Christians, among individual churches, and the church body as a whole. Because when you understand the characteristic of spiritual gifts, you see how gifts influence your desires, your motivation, your behavior. And that's why, even as I tell you all the time, no joke, no, you know, hyperbole, is I love to preach God's word. I love it. And some would say, oh, that's just, you know, vain. You just love to be in front of people. Well, God has gifted me with, yes, a desire to do that, but it's not for my glory. It's for God's glory. So I've learned that I have a desire to share what I'm learning through God's word. And so you will begin to realize why, for you, you see that other people do not always see things or react to situations the same as you do. And that is okay. It is all a part of God's plan. Different gifts complement each other. And so you begin to see areas that you're more prone to jump in and help in a situation. You're more excited to help in these areas. You begin to see that maybe there's a gifting in this area because there is a longing to do more in this area or in this field or in this portion of the church as a whole. And that's why it builds unity among Christians when we understand that my gift, although different than yours, complements one another and builds unity in the church. So knowing your spiritual gifts builds unity, not just in the access point, but in the church body as a whole. Also, knowing your spiritual gift equips you to fulfill God's purpose for your life. Just like we were just talking about, by beginning to see where your motivations, your desires lie, you begin to get a sense of purpose and fulfillment in doing the very things that bring you joy and satisfaction in this world. Because God has created each one of us uniquely different. He has given us different gifts, different talents, different personalities, different temperaments, different passions to accomplish His unique purpose for each of us and for the church as a whole. And so true significance in life comes when we discover that sense of calling, that desire, that longing, what motivates me? And then we say, how can I use them in my career? How can I use them in my ministry? How can I use those in my family life and in the lives of my friends? How can I use that in the church? By seeing areas that bring fulfillment, it brings purpose. It adds a sense of understanding of how we truly do not just identify with Christ, but we fulfill a sense of purpose in that body as a whole. We do have a place. And so knowing our spiritual gifts equips us to fulfill God's purpose, God's will for your life. Because when you and I use the gift that God has given you, you will be able to serve at maximum fulfillment with minimum frustration. And we will find the true area for which God has gifted us by serving Him more, by finding areas that give us a sense of joy and true fulfillment in the work that we do. Whether we say, oh, it's just a small job. No, you're helping watch my 2-year-old child in the back, and that brings joy to my heart when I see him learning about Christ from a young age, and you find fulfillment and joy in taking care of the kids in the back. And you say, well, all I do is clean up the church. Well, that brings a sense of joy and satisfaction to your life because you like to see things clean. You like to see things in the order and in a fashion that brings joy to your heart. That if you're like me, I love it when all my totes are organized and labeled. Man, that looks good in my shop. It makes me feel good. Well, that's also a way that we find that it's a small thing in the church body, but it brings me joy. I'm actually fulfilled in doing these things for the church body. So instead of saying, oh, I'm just a small portion. No, you're living at maximum fulfillment with minimum frustration because you're living in the very gift that God has given you. And when we do so, we find a sense of purpose. And that purpose excites us because we're no longer just saying, I identify, but now I have a place and a purpose in the body of Christ. And we can now stop saying, this is all I do, or I just do this. No, we say, I get to do this, and it fulfills my portion, and it builds a church body as a whole. It gives us a sense of fulfillment and equips us to use the very gifts that God has given us. Also, knowing your spiritual gift adds to a sense of your understanding of self-worth in the church. In other words, we're not just saying, I'm just here. I don't have much to offer. But when we say, yes, I have a gift that God has given me to offer, I say, you know what? I do mean something to this church. It's not just AJ saying it so that I come back and I volunteer again, but it's me understanding that I have worth not because of I earned it, but because God has gifted me and has made me a part of this body. So it adds a sense of, yes, fulfillment and a sense of self-worth in the fact that I am a part of this body. This body needs me, and therefore I need to live up to the purpose for which God has created me. But one thing we see is this sense of undue guilt. It is a weapon that Satan loves to use to keep Christians from living up to their potential. Many believers, you know, consider themselves, again, unspiritual because, look, I can't live up to their expectations for me, or I can't do what so-and-so can, so maybe I'm just not as spiritually mature as them. Maybe if I was a better Christian like them, then I would be able to do what they can do. But we have to understand that we don't need to concern ourselves with what others expect, but only with what God is expecting from you and I. And the expectations come from the very gifts that He has given us. So instead of feeling guilty because I'm not a preacher or I'm not a teacher, we say, God has gifted me in this area, and He's given me these gifts for a purpose, and it adds to a sense of worth in what I mean to the church body as a whole. Not with self-pride, not by the fact that I earned it, but because God has gifted me by His grace, so I have a place in this body. The body of Christ as a whole needs me, as the orchestra needs each individual instrument. The church body needs me. As insignificant as somebody else may say my role is, God has given me that gift because it is significant. It is purposeful, and it is by His sovereign plan and will that He has given me that gift. So instead of worrying about others' expectations or trying to make ourselves feel guilt because I can't do what they can, we say, well, look, God has called me to do what others cannot do. Again, not adding to pride, but adding to the sense that the church body needs me, and it is only by God's grace, God's gift, that I can even be a part of this church body to begin with. Because God has given you a gift that suits you perfectly for your role in the church body in this moment right now. And so knowing where we fit in and then doing our part shows the church that you are with them, and that you want to do whatever you can to help build up the church body as a whole. As insignificant as you may try to pass it off as, or maybe as insignificant as so-and-so may say it is because they are doing this and they are lifting themselves up on a pedestal, it's because they have forgotten the only reason those gifts are there in the first place is because God's grace has granted that gift, has given that gift through His Holy Spirit. And they have to deal with that sense of pride. But you don't need to worry about their expectations, but understand that this is the expectations that God has for me, shown by the very gifts that He has given me, the gifts He's given me for a purpose and a plan in accordance to His will in this church body. And He has given me a role that somebody else cannot do. And that gives us a sense of self-worth in this church body. And as I've told you many times, one of the biggest kicks in the teeth, as I like to call it, was when I was youth minister and telling God I was going to stay youth minister till the day I died, that I wasn't going to be a preacher, that I wasn't going to leave the role I was. The biggest kick in the teeth was a realization that came to mind that said, you know what? If I'm calling you to go somewhere else, then I'm calling somebody to this position here and now that can do the job better than you. And I was like, that's not very nice, God. But that's the truth. If that's not where I'm supposed to be, then He has somebody to fulfill that role who is called for that role that can do that role better than me because I'm not supposed to be there. But yet, again, I had the audacity to tell God, no, that's not what I'm doing. But again, that kick of reality that God has called me somewhere else, and he's got someone else to fulfill that role that can do the job better. They can do it better because that is where they're supposed to be. So not only am I holding them back, but I'm holding myself back from what God is calling me to do elsewhere. So we have to understand we are given these gifts for a purpose in God's sovereign plan. And when we understand that he has called us to do something that others cannot, it doesn't give us a sense of pride, but it gives us an understanding that I need to do what God has called me to do so that the church as a whole can flourish and grow and God can be glorified in that. Because spiritual gifts will enable us to grow in the knowledge of Christ. And what we have to see and what I want you to understand is that attaining spiritual gifts is not the goal. They're really the gateway, if you will. They're not a hobby to play with. And it's okay if you take the spiritual gifts test. Those are okay. But don't rely on them solely. Rather, understand spiritual gifts are tools to build with. They are weapons to fight with. They are something given by God to build up the body of Christ and to bring glory to his name. And you and I will be more effective as we put these gifts to use for God's glory and not for our own. All of this, the gifts we have, the grace we've been given, is all by his sovereign plan. And so when we use our gifts as he has called us to, then again, we are preparing ourselves to be part of what he is doing. Again, proof that we are in Christ is revealed when we use the very gifts that God has given us. No longer just saying, I identify with Christ, but proving I identify with Christ. God is, by his grace, given me the faith that I have, given me my new life in him, and I understand it's only found in him above all. No other identity means anything to me or matters to me. And because of that, and because of the gift of his spirit, and then the spirit's gift of a spiritual gift in my life, I now see that I have a part to play. I have a role in the body of Christ. And when I'm not doing my part, the body of Christ suffers. I miss out, and God is not being glorified in my life. So we prove ourselves to be in Christ when we use the very gifts that God has given to us. Let's pray. Hey guys, it's AJ Layton, lead pastor at Access Point Church. We're so glad you guys have found us, stumbled upon us, or been long listeners. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our page, share with your friends. We look forward to seeing you next week.